Hello, my name is Chef Louis. I'm from the Capsicum Culinary Studio in Boksburg. And I'm going to show you or explain to you how to make a basic vegetable stir fry with an egg fried rice. What you will need is some carrots. I've used about 2 carrots. This will give you roughly 6 portions. You can obviously break it down and make it smaller or bigger any way you like. The ingredients are very optional. You can decide on what ingredients you want to use. So I've got some carrots, I've got green peppers, I've got mushrooms, pineapple, baby marrows, and some chili. This is just a sort of a red jalapeno chili. The chili, the heat, it's up to you. You decide what you want. And then I've got some eggs and I've got some basmati rice. Now you can either cook fresh basmati rice from scratch, or if you have some leftover, obviously sometimes we all left with leftover rice and bits. This is an excellent dish to use that leftover rice as opposed to putting it in the freezer and chucking it 3 months later. Okay, so what I've done, all of my veggies are basically cut into julienne, and I'm going to explain how to do that. The simplest thing, I'm going to start with the carrot. And with the carrot, julienne is basically a matchstick sized cut. So I've peeled the carrots, I've topped and tailed it, peeled it, and then I've cut it into matchstick size or length. And the easiest way to go from there is then to cut a thin slither of one of the edges, so you're giving it a flat edge, as thin as possible, size of a matchstick. And then laying it down that edge so that it's not rolling around when I'm trying to cut it. And then with julienne, your aim is as thin as possible. The thinner, the better. Because it's obviously going to cook a lot faster. So I'm just cutting my carrots into as thin as possible slithers or slices that I can get. And then each of these slices, they need to be cut into a matchstick size. So again, as thin as possible, just slice it. So what you're ending up with is a carrot that looks like a match. That's what you're trying to aim for, or at least the size. So cut all of your little wedges or slices that you've created into matchstick sizes. And once you've done that, you're going to repeat it with all of your other vegetables, except for the pineapple. The pineapple, there's no point in cutting it into slices or into slivers. It's going to break anyway. So cut that into sort of 1 centimeter cubes. You can go bigger or you can go smaller, any way you like. Just finishing up my carrots. I did the same thing with the chili. I deseeded it. Again, the heat is up to you. You decide how hot or how mild you want it, or if you don't want to add the chili, you don't need to. If you want it very hot, obviously the type of chili that you're using is going to make it hotter or less mild. And if you don't want heat, then you just leave the chili out completely. But if you do leave the seeds in, obviously it's going to be a lot hotter, depending on what chilies you use. If you use a green pepper, for example, the seeds do nothing apart from make it bitter. So you need to take those out. Cool. Okay, so in order to take the seeds out of the chili, if you want to, you want to cut chili in half lengthways, press it flat, skin side down, so skin side on your cutting board, and then using your knife in a horizontal motion, just slide it through and cut all the pith and the seeds away. They'll come off fairly simple. Scrape any seeds that are stuck to the chili, clean your cutting board, and then chuck it. And then the same applies for your chili. Now, the chili, you can decide if you want it the same as all of your other veggies, which would be preferable to cut everything the same size and length, but you can leave the chili slightly longer if you want. You can. The length of your cuts is not so important as the size of the cut. Everything will be fried separately because everything cooks at a different rate. So the carrots are going to take longer to cook than the chili or the peppers or the mushroom, for example. Moving over to my pan, you want to place the pan over the highest heat possible. So we're using gas, so in the biggest flame. If you're using electricity, then obviously just on the highest setting, so you've got a very high heat. Okay, pan on the heat, high heat, and then I'm just adding some oil.
What type of oil?
We're using sunflower oil. A better oil to use would be something like a peanut oil, because it's got a higher burning temperature, so you can raise the temperature and make it a lot higher. But also, not.
Why would you need to maintain it higher?
The higher the temperature is, the faster your vegetables are cooking. The idea is to get them cooked as quickly as possible, but without making them mushy. So on a low temperature, the vegetables start simmering and they start sweating. Yeah. So the moisture in the vegetables starts coming out, and that makes them very soft and mushy. So just waiting for my oil to heat up, and we are looking for literally the smoke to come off the oil. Now you can smell the smoke off of it, or when you just pass your hand right over the pan, you will feel quite a lot of heat. But the smoke you should be able to smell. I'm not going to add any sauces or anything at this point. For now, I'm just going to cook each of my vegetables separate until they're done. Then I'll combine them all and then make a sauce. So we're doing sort of an in-the-pot sauce. It just makes it a lot easier. And then the rice we'll do after we've done our veggies. Just swirling the oil around to make sure it covers my pan. And you can work on roughly a tablespoon. You don't want to work on a lot of oil. The more oil you put, the oilier your dish is going to be. And we're not looking for an oily dish. While we're waiting for that, there we go, starting to smoke. A way that you can test whether your oil is hot enough or not is take one of your veggies, whichever you're going to start with. For example, I'm going to start with a carrot because it takes the longest. Can you smell it? So another way to test is just to take one of your carrot sticks and place it inside. You want to hear a big sear, a big sizzle immediately. We're going to go a little bit more, get it hotter. There we go. So it's not exploding at me, but it's immediately searing the moment that it hits the pan. So I will add my carrots. Now I've used two carrots. And I will add half of the carrots in now. When that's ready, I'll take them out and then add the other half. You don't want to cover the base of the pan with too much vegetables because they start sweating and then they stew as opposed to fry. So just using a wooden spoon to move them around. And you want to give this about 2, maybe 3 minutes more than that, because then they will start burning. You will smell if the carrots start burning, they're very caramelized. Again, don't cook this for too long. Your idea is just to get the carrots to become flexible. They're still remaining crunchy and crispy, but softer.
What are you doing?
Okay, I'm just stirring them about, keeping it moving so that it doesn't catch at one end. Okay, so that's pretty much it. 2 or 3 minutes, more than enough. Don't overcook at this point because you're going to put it back on the heat. When all of your other veggies are done. Placing the pot back on the heat and just bringing it up to temperature again. Again, add a little bit of oil, no more than a tablespoon. You need to keep the base of the pan oiled so that none of your vegetables will stick. Keep swirling your pan around so that the oil coats the base. And check again for the temperature. Add the rest. And repeat with all of your other vegetables. So each of these vegetables will cook at a different rate. Just mix it about. Keep the vegetables moving. So I'm starting with the carrots, which takes the longest, and then I will move on to my other veggies. So I've got mushrooms, baby marrows, and green peppers. They all cook at fairly similar rates, but I'll keep them separate. So just keep the vegetables moving so that they don't catch. By catch, I mean don't burn. Right, carrots are done. If your pan does begin to get hot in your hand, you can just use a cloth to hold on to the handle. Put the pan back on the heat. Keep the pan as hot as possible all the time. Try not to let the temperature drop. because that'll just save you time. Every time the temperature drops, you need to bring it back to temperature. So what could potentially take you 3 minutes is going to take you close to an hour every time you have to reheat the pan. Okay. Pan's hot. I'm going to start with my green pepper. So I've got a half a green pepper. Okay, so the green pepper has been cut in half lengthways. The seeds removed, the same as the chili. And then slithers. Like the chili as well. Again, keep the vegetable moving in your pan. So the green peppers will cook a lot faster than your carrots. You won't cook them for more than a minute. Again, it is going to go back into the heat when we combine all of our veggies. So, green peppers done. Pan back on the heat. Again, about a tablespoon of oil. And swirl it around. Heat up your pan. Next, I will do the baby mirror. The baby mirror has been cut into julienne again, so matchstick sized. They too will cook very, very quickly in the pan. So I've got three baby mirrors, fairly large ones. So again, I'm going to do them in two. One half, cook it, and then cook the other half as well. I'm not adding any seasoning at this point because once we've added all of our veggies together, then we will season it. We can taste it and decide what needs to go in there. I've got some other flavors that I will talk about shortly when we do it. And that's basically going to be my seasoning. So again, baby mirror cooks very, very quickly, especially when it's cut this thin. Into julienne. No more than a minute, that's done. Pan back on the heat. Adding the oil again. Tablespoon of oil. Cover the base of the pan, so swirl the pan around. Give it a few minutes or 2 seconds just to heat up again, and then add the remainder of your baby marrow. Keep it moving. So to check each of your veggies, you can, using your spoon, just put a little bit of it on your table to cool down for a minute or so, and then taste it. You're looking for a veggie that is still crunchy and chewy to bite into and not mushy or soft. Pan back on the heat, oil again. I'm just using normal sunflower oil, as we said earlier. Let that heat up. Next, I'm putting my mushrooms. So, the strongest flavor that I have is the pineapple, apart from the chili. So, to cut the mushrooms, I literally just cut in half. And then cut as thin slice as you possibly can get out of it. And then I've used about a half a pint of mushrooms, so it's quite a lot. Again, I'm going to add them in two batches, especially with mushrooms because they tend to go very watery very quickly. Very hot pan. Keep them moving. The mushrooms are cut very, very thinly, so they will cook extremely quickly. Yeah. First batch of mushrooms done. Stir from the heat, oil. So the whole point of stir fry is, a stir fry is extremely fast cooking. So in order to be fast, you need very high heat, and all of your vegetables or whatever it is that you're using must be cut as thinly as possible. And then obviously you need to know your temperature so that vegetables that cook longer, obviously, are given longer time to cook. Hot pan again. Last of the mushrooms. And keep stirring. Again, just a few seconds is more than what you need. If you were to use spices, you would have to add spices every time you add a new vegetable so that you can carry your spices all the way through and keep the same flavor profile. Okay, mushrooms done. And lastly, back on the heat, oil. So it sounds like a lot of oil, but it's literally just a tablespoon of oil just to coat my pan at the base. Now for this last bit, I'm going to add my pineapple and I'm going to add the chili together so that the pineapple can absorb the flavor of the chili, because pineapple does take a little bit longer to absorb flavors. So in goes my chili. I've used one jalapeno chili and then one pineapple. I'm adding the pineapple with the juice that's been sitting for a while. It's a fresh pineapple, not a tin. And the purpose is that the juice will reduce and make a sweeter syrup. So the pineapple is cut into 1 centimeter cubes. It will take probably 3 or so minutes to cook all the way through. Again, I want to reduce as much of the syrupy liquid that's there. It will just sweeten it and intensify the flavor more. Keep them moving. You can hear the temperature of the pan has dropped because it's not sizzling so loud anymore. Just keep it moving and stir it every now and again. Okay, so in a separate dish, I have combined all of my cooked vegetables now. So the mushrooms, the baby marrows, the green pepper. And I'm just stirring it through so that it combines, so that I don't have patches of mushroom and patches of carrots. So they're all combined. And then while I'm waiting for the pineapple, now the pineapple will not be removed from the pan when it's ready. I'm simply going to add the recipes that I've already cooked. So to this I can add a pinch of salt. Don't add a lot of salt, you can always add more salt later. So you just want a slightest bit of seasoning. Because we're going to add soy sauce, we're going to add some sherry vinegar, and we're also going to add just a touch of sesame oil. Now sesame oil is largely just a flavorant. You're not going to cook with it, you're not going to try and fry anything in it. Its flavor is just way too strong and it will ruin your whole dish. So no more than 2 or 3 drops is all you need. And that'll impart a delicious nutty flavor to your stir fry. So I can hear now that my pineapple is starting to fry. It's not simmering anymore, sizzling. So it's now frying. So that's pretty much ready. To that I will add the rest of my vegetables now. Now this will drop the temperature of the pan quite significantly. Okay, we're not going to simmer this for a long time. Combine with your pineapple. then my sesame oil, 1 teaspoon. I can flood a little bit in a teaspoon or just aim and hope I get the right amount.
Look at that.
And then I'm going to add about 2 tablespoons worth of soy sauce. Now this is very salty, and this is the reason why I don't add a lot of salt in the beginning of my dish, because this is where the seasoning comes in. Now, there is few things worse than a dry stir fry. You really want to make sure that you've got a nice sauce to cover it, but at the same time, it must not swim in the sauce. So it's on the heat still, it's reducing my sauces and oils that I'm pouring in, so it'll make for a nice sticky sauce becoming soggy. And then about a tablespoon of sherry vinegar just to add some acidity. And then from here you can play with your own flavorings. You can add salt, pepper. A little bit of sugar is always a good idea because it helps to balance flavors. In this case I've got the pineapple, which is my sweetness. And I think that's pretty much done. So stirring that through. Now I'm not going to turn the heat off because I intend on using the stove again. So out into a separate dish, stir fry is done. Take it out of the pan so you can stop the cooking process, otherwise it will turn into a stew. Alright, next dish is the egg fried rice. So again, pan back on the heat, about a tablespoon of oil. Now, you're going to start off by pretty much making scrambled eggs in a very hot frying pan. So, I've got 3 eggs, which I'm going to break directly into the pan. I don't need milk or water or any of that liquid. I intend on just breaking it up roughly. It won't be in the pan for a long time. But I do want also, again, very, very high heat and a very hot pan in order to do this. Now, your egg fried rice should not take you more than a minute, maybe 2 at the most, and then that too will be done. Seasoning, again, you will season yours with salt and pepper. I prefer to season with the egg when I place the egg in the pan. That is when I will season. And very, very hot pan, so the eggs are going to be a bit explosive once they go in. So the best eggs to use for this, obviously, is chicken eggs. They're the most freely available. But also make sure that they're as fresh as possible. You can make sure that they're fresh daily. So if I'm going to make the egg fried rice today, I'll buy the eggs today from the shop. And at least I know I'm not getting rotten eggs. If you want to play it safe, you can always break the eggs one by one into a separate dish and smell and make sure that they're not all rotten. So straight into my very hot pan, break the egg into the pan. It's going to be explosive. Right, those are all 3 my eggs. Just season with a pinch of salt. Bear in mind that the rice is not very harshly seasoned. Stir the eggs around. And what you're trying to achieve is to basically make scrambled eggs. They need to be cooked, but must not become watery or cooked for too long. So not a dry scrambled egg. As soon as that's done and you can hear that it's basically stopped sizzling, then you can add your rice. I've got about a half a cup of rice that was raw, giving me about 1.5 cups of cooked rice. Add the rice and stir it through. You want to work fairly quickly with this. You don't want to end up having the rice. You don't want to end up having the rice stick and burn. So I'm constantly stirring, breaking up the egg into a little bit so that it mixes well with the rice. And I'm just using a soft spatula. And that is the rice done. Take it off the heat, switch your stove off, and then dish up. Okay, so to dish up, I have got three elements going onto my plate, essentially. I have my stir-fried vegetables, and I have my egg-fried rice. And just to complement scent, I also have a little herb called lemon verbena. Now, lemon verbena is not very readily available in the shops. Generally, if you don't grow it, you don't get it. So we grow our own lemon verbena. And I've just got a small little sprig. It's got a very, very strong lemony scent to it. Absolutely delicious scent. However, it does not taste of much. So I really just want to incorporate that beautiful, delicate lemon fragrance to my dish. So taking all the leaves, plucking them off of the stem, rolling it into a tight little cigar lengthways, and then using my knife, I'm going to try and slice it as thin as I possibly can. This is called a chiffonade. So chiffonade, basically, angel's hair. So the finer and thinner you can slice this, the better. And I only need about a teaspoon's worth, so about four leaves is enough. And I'm going to use this to garnish. Lemon verbena does not like heat. Once you put it into a frying pan or onto heat, it will lose its scent and flavor. Now, it smells a lot better than what it tastes, but you want the fragrance there. All right, so dishing up my rice. You can put this in a mold if you like, but it's not an essential. So I'm going to use a mold, and to do that, I'm picking up the rice, placing it in the mold. My mold is just a normal little glass bowl. And I'm really pressing the rice down so that it's quite firm in the mold, using the back of a spoon. Don't be scared, press it firmly. The firmer you press, the better it will hold its shape once you remove it from the mold. And then picking up your plate, turn your plate upside down onto the mold, and then turn the lot upside down. The rice will come out of the mold by itself. And then using a pair of tongs or a spoon, whatever you're comfortable with, pick up your stir fry and either place it on the rice or just place it sort of to the side of the rice. I'm placing it at about between 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock, so the half hour mark. You can decide how big your portions are going to be. I suppose it depends on how hungry you are. And then I'm just going to sprinkle my chopped lemon verbena, a very, very tiny bit, over the top.